Captain Constanzo Fandis of the Temple Guard walked swiftly down the temple hallway. He wore the polished steel cuirass and scarlet tunic of the guard over a heavy woolen sweater that was just a bit too warm here inside the temple proper. His sword was sheathed at his hip, his gloves were tucked under his belt, and although he'd shed his heavy coat at the cloakroom when he entered the temple, his tall boots and the legs of his breeches were dotted with the wet spots left by melted snow. Captain Fandis's expression was not a happy one, but he was scarcely alone in that these days. In fact, he'd discovered that quite a few of his fellow guard officers were obviously on edge this morning as well, and there was something invisible in the air, something unseen, scentless, impossible to touch, yet all-pervasive. It was scarcely the first time that had been true over the 3 years since the cataclysmic failure of the attack on the heretical kingdom of Karas. That had been the sort of earthquake which came along perhaps once in 100 years, Fandis thought now. It wasn't the sort of thing a mere guard captain was supposed to be thinking, but there was no point pretending he didn't know it was true. Just as there was no point pretending that the tremors which the subsequent defection of Chisholm, Emerald, and Zebediah, and the conquest of Coruscant, had sent through the temple and the ranks of the vicarate hadn't been even more deadly in their own way. For most subjects of the mainland realms, all of those distant lands were unimportant, lost beyond the periphery of their own interests. Besides, while Karras's wealth might be the stuff of fabulous and envious legend, the island kingdom's population was surely too small to pose any threat to the power of such great realms as Desnair, Dolar, Harchang, even the Republic of Siddharmark. The very notion was ridiculous, and that completely overlooked the fact that God, in his wisdom, would never permit the aggression of such apostate and heretical lands to prosper. Yet those who wore Mother Church's orange had a somewhat different view of things. Little though they might care to admit it, and indeed many flatly refused to admit it, they knew the rebellion of the Church of Karas had found frightening echoes in the other lands of the newborn Karizian Empire. They had begun to realize, however dimly, that people like Samuel and Howard Wilson might have had a point all along. That the luxurious lifestyles and personal power to which they had become accustomed might not actually be quite so universally beloved and approved of as they'd told one another. That, in its attack on Karas, the group of four might just have unleashed forces which could destroy them all. Such considerations were the business of those who far outranked Captain Fandis, and he knew it. He wasn't an idiot, however, and his assignment to the courier service had put him in an ideal position to recognize what was going on, since so many of the messages about world events passed through his hands. And even if that hadn't been true, he'd been stationed here in the temple for over 2 years now. During those years, and especially this past winter, he'd seen how things had changed since his last temple tour. He'd seen what others had seen, recognized what others recognized, and there was no doubt in his mind that Grand Inquisitor Jaspar and Fandis's own ultimate superior, Captain General Maguire, had decided they could not afford to be threatened on more than one front at a time. Which was precisely what brought Fandis here today, when he was supposed to be in his own office down in the courier service's lakeside annex. He reached a cross hallway and turned left. A pair of vicars stood by one of the windows, gazing out into the frozen early morning. Their heads popped up like startled wyverns as Fandis appeared. They actually flinched visibly before they got themselves back under control, and the captain wondered what they'd been talking about so quietly. Given the way they'd reacted to the appearance of a mere guard captain, it was probably something they shouldn't have been discussing, as far as the group of four was concerned at least, he reflected grimly. There'd been a lot of that going around lately. Constanzo Fandis had served in the Temple Guard for over 15 years, and this was his fourth tour here in the temple itself. In all those years, however, he'd never seen a winter like this one. Never seen the most senior ranks of the episcopate and the vicarate itself broken up into such ragged knots of apprehensive, all too often half-terrified men, all watching their own backs, frightened to reveal their true inner thoughts, even among their closest intimates. He saluted the vicars courteously as he strode past them. Neither acknowledged his salute. They only stared at him the way an ice wyvern perched on the edge of an ice floe might watch a circling kraken glide past. He continued down the hall, turned another corner, descended a short, broad flight of steps, and found himself outside a closed door. He paused very briefly, a hesitation that was felt more than seen, then rapped sharply.
"Yes?" a voice inquired.
"May I speak with you for a moment, Major Carnicus?" Fandis replied. "I'm afraid it's fairly important, sir." The voice didn't reply immediately. Then,
"Enter," it said curtly,
and the mystically powered doors slid silently open as someone waved a hand above the magic eye which commanded them. Major Jafar Carnicus was a tallish man, with red-brown hair, bushy brows, and dark eyes. He was a bit unusual in that he held rank simultaneously in both the Temple Guard proper and in the Order of Schuler, and Fandis felt his pulse quicken slightly as he saw Carnicus's sheathed sword lying on his desk instead of being racked on the wall in his inner office.